I'm Matt, and I'm an educator at the National Museum of American History. And you're listening to History Explore, a podcast that lets you investigate questions about history along with our staff. Two arm slings, a yellow prisoner of war suit, and a pair of Iraqi sneakers. Why might curators Margaret Vining and Bart Hacker point these out as one of the more unusual set of objects in the collection? Think about the possibilities and refine your answer as we learn about the role of women in military history.
Military history is a huge topic, and the composition of armies has always been men, they will tell you. But when you start reading about the history, you'll come across a little sentence or two that says, well, from tooth to tail, there were more people behind the scenes than there were on the field. Actually, the women were on the field, too. But in ancient times, in early times, early modern times, the armies trailed huge numbers of families, women, children, and they all participated in the field work of the army. They only fought a small part of the time.
One of the problems with military history, which is changed some in the last 10 or 20 years, but is still a problem, that the tendency to see military history as concerned only with fighting. It basically became an academic field of study in the 19th century, developed by military general staffs as a way of learning lessons about past military experience. And the lessons they were interested in learning were not how you supply an army, but how you win a battle. But as anyone who's ever been in the military or knows anything about it, an army is never more than 10 or 15% fighting people. There's enormous support structure that's required to maintain an army in the field, or in peacetime for that matter. And women have always been involved in those activities, going back to antiquity.
What role have women played in military institutions throughout history? Bart and Margaret have spent decades studying this question, and there's still much to learn. I asked Bart and Margaret to discuss what inspired them to begin researching this topic and what they found along the way.
I was a military wife, an officer's wife with a degree in history and a strong interest in women's history. And actually, it was a strong interest in the lack of women's history.
I was actually recruited into the women's liberation movement in the early 70s. And because I was then teaching history, I couldn't help wondering about the history of women's liberation. That led very directly to wondering about the absence of women from military history, and it was evident from many of the things I read that women were around as far back as historical evidence went, but military historians or chroniclers rarely talked about them, and I started wondering why. What I discovered was that, for the most part, there was little written about, but there were a lot of pictures. Artists, mostly popular graphic artists, the guys who did flyers and newsletters and stuff like that from the 15th, 16th century onward, regularly pictured women in military setting, mostly camp scenes. And that really started me wondering. For the most part, generally speaking, and this is true in ancient times, and it's true in the women who have become such a prominent part of irregular armies in the 20th and 21st centuries, that their major function, the stuff that they're mostly doing, is the support functions, which include activities related to health and hygiene, communications, transportation, logistics, that is all of the work that's necessary to keep an army in operation.
And I submit to you that the women who do war industrial work are part of the military institution. So that's an expansive view of military service, but I think it's an honest one.
It's pretty evident that women, for the most part, have not been part of combat, except inadvertently. When you hang around an army, you're going to get involved in the fighting, even if you don't intend to or if you're not supposed to, which is perfectly evident for the U.S. Army in Iraq and Afghanistan. All those women who were supposed to be in non-combat positions were in a war that had really no front lines.
I was a BSA field officer of the day. BSA is Brigade Support Area. It was kind of a routine task. You have to go outside the wire because we have an overpass, you know, right outside of our FOB. So we get a lot of people firing, you know, when we're crossing that. So they hired two Iraqi police to man that area. So a part of the checks three times a day, you have to go out there and either give them their weapons or check on them, and at the end of the day, you get their weapons back. So after we gave them their weapons, there is a certain area that you have to cover, and you're going 5 miles per hour, you know, you're checking on the side of the roads. And I was looking at the exact same spot while I'm sitting in my Humvee, and it was 2003, so you don't have up armors, you don't have all these doors, we're the logistics people, you know, so even if that was in theater, you know, we didn't get them. So I'm looking, checking, you know, on my side of the road, ID goes off. I don't know if I felt the impact, but it's like that huge black, you know, smoke, that huge black smoke was inside me. The majority of the impact came and hit the wheel well. It was a one-by-one chunk of actual steel from it. And that impacted into my right shin. And my driver got us past the area. We got probably down less than 100 meters. And the next thing they do is they hit you with small arms. So I was trying to get out. You know, I was yelling to my guys, get out, form a perimeter. Couldn't move my legs. Couldn't move both of them. I yell over to the NCYC, which is here to there, because he stopped his vehicle kind of, you know, at a cross point. I'm like, can't move, don't know what's wrong with me, carry me over to the other vehicle, form the perimeter, call back to the FOB.
That was Kelly Knox, who was deployed with the Army to the Iraq War. Remember my question at the beginning of the episode? The two arm slings, the yellow prisoner of war suit, and the pair of Iraqi sneakers? Have you figured out why Margaret and Bart would find those to be so unusual? The objects belong to Rhonda Cornum, a flight surgeon whose Black Hawk was shot down during her service in the First Gulf War in 1991. Among the injuries she sustained were a gunshot wound and two broken arms. She was taken as a prisoner of war shortly after the crash. We can see why Margaret and Bart would find these objects to be so unusual, considering they came from a woman who wasn't supposed to be in a combat role and supposedly even in any support role that was considered to be as risky as a combat one. Rules about women in combat roles in the U.S. military have evolved over the decades, but 2 months ago there was a major shift. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta lifted the ban allowing women, who make up about 14% of the U.S. military, to be in combat roles.
I mean, it will mean that lots of women who have essentially been participating in combat will now get additional pay for combat. But the main effect is really to open up opportunities for women in the armed forces. And I think probably particularly for officers, one of the characteristics of progression through the officer ranks has typically been combat service. You're very unlikely to become a general, ultimately, if you haven't punched your ticket in a war zone. That has been barred to most women simply because they're not allowed to participate in combat. With Panetta's lifting of the ban, all of those military specializations which women have been barred from are now open, and that also means that female officers will be able to punch those tickets that have been exclusively open to male officers before now. So the results, I think, are more likely to affect career development than experience of combat.
I asked Bart and Margaret to tell us a little bit about their specific research and if they had any advice for our listeners who are interested in conducting their own.
Well, when I came to the museum, Margaret introduced me to a collection of women's uniforms from World War I, which was a revelation to me. I was completely astounded at the range of activities that I had known absolutely nothing about. Tens of thousands of women, American women, had served in a whole range of service and support organizations for the military while remaining civilians but wearing uniforms. It's true that there were some who were actually inducted into military service, the Navy and the Marine Corps mainly, but that was really a very small proportion of the total. The range of organizations, some of them are quite familiar, like the Salvation Army and the YMCA, but there are others that probably nobody's ever heard of, like the American Jewish Committee and the American Friends Service Committee and the American Library Association.
And the Knights of Columbus, the range is just extraordinary. The YMCA, YWCA, just a wide range. And we had the uniforms here. That was part of the collection that I had been amassing.
That led very directly to a whole series of research papers, presentations, and so forth, as we thought about what that meant.
But the greater history of women's service with the military is still to be written. We put it some of it together, but it leaves lots of holes for people to fill.
For every individual, it's you're reading history and you say, but gee, that's an interesting question. I wonder why. And off you go.
Where are the women?
Yeah, you basically immerse yourself in history, and anyone who does that will find endless questions, and you need to pick on one. You just need to select one and start digging. Looking back, I remember when I was starting out, it seemed to me that putting together more than 4 or 5 pages on any topic was just beyond the capacity of a human being. I think everybody feels that way at the outset. But as I discovered, and as anybody who persists in this study will discover, as you learn more, and particularly as you become interested, and you always will, there are always questions, there are always research topics that are going to attract your attention. And as you pursue these topics and learn and think, you're going to find yourself more often than not with exactly the opposite problem, how to stop.
Thanks for listening to History Explorer. And thanks to Bart and Margaret for helping us take a broader look at military history and for helping us understand the important and varying military roles that women have played and continue to play. As Margaret stated, though, there are still many areas that need further research. If you're interested, we hope that you take Bart's advice and dive right in. Or take Bart and Margaret as an example. They were inspired to explore women in military history based on their life experiences. For Bart, his involvement in the women's liberation movement while teaching military history courses. For Margaret, the time she spent as a military wife. Consider looking into the history of what surrounds you, your experiences, passions, activities, and interests. For more History Explorer episodes, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or visit our website, americanhistory.si.edu/podcasts. Do you have a question, comment, or idea for a future podcast episode? Please email us at thinkfinity@si.edu. This podcast was made possible through a generous grant from the Verizon Foundation. Music for this episode from the Underscore Orchestra, which you can find at the_orchestra.com, and Daniel Backman, which you can find on his label's website, dyingforbadmusic.com.